We are part of a larger body. That's why once a month we also come back for family service, right? So that we don't just think we are a youth ministry doing things on our own, but we are part of a bigger body, a bigger family. Additionally, it also gives us the opportunity, the greater opportunity to serve and minister to the larger body, just as we have the box, worship team, and welcome in, having the opportunity to serve all of us as we come together. And lastly, coming together creates a visual, not just for us to see that we are one body, but for non-believers to see that we are one family of God. For our nation to see that we are one church standing for kingdom values, and for the enemy, Satan, to see that we are one army of God standing together, ready to take up a fight with him. And take note, I'm not saying that one form is better, small or big is better. Both are important, and that's why we have both. And why must we come together physically and not just meet online? For one, hearing real applause is better than seeing a clapping emoji. I'm sure you guys will agree, right? But on a more serious note, it is because we are made in the flesh. And I believe that somewhere in God's design is for us to interact in the flesh. You know, having eye contact, facial expression, body language, touch, smell even, volume of speaking, proximity when you stand close to someone or 1 meter away from someone. All this matters in our face-to-face interaction. And we cannot fully upload ourselves online. Can you imagine having an LDR and never meeting that person online? Or the YA people now, or the campus YA people now use the Christian dating apps, right? Imagine chatting online with a person and never meeting a person. Or for the secondary school, secondary segment, JPI, meeting your favorite YouTuber or K-pop idol, would you rather meet them on Zoom or face-to-face? I guess we all know the answer. Now, Netflix, a lot of new K-drama, so... Okay? But above all of that, we meet physically because your presence matters. You being here matters to me, matters to the person on your left and on your right, whether they say it or not. And your presence matters, most importantly, to God. You choosing to be here amidst all the other places you can be, amidst all the other things that you can be doing, is an expression of your pursuit of God and an act of worship to Him. It is fleshing out what it means to be consecrated. You know, consecrated means to set apart, right? And when you guys are here, you are literally setting apart your time, your energy, and your attention for God and His body. And being online makes that slightly more trickier, or very much more trickier, because we can be at so many places at one go. You know, virtually, you can have many Google Chrome tabs. And being online also allows you to do many things at one time, alternate tabbing here and there. And that robs us, robs God, robs all of us of your presence, your full attention, which is of great value. And I just want to leave this here, that you as an individual mean a lot more to others than you think you do or you don't. Let me emphasize that. You as an individual mean a lot more to me, to God, and to the people around you, more than you think you do or you don't. So with all that said, I do hope that what I shared gives those of you who are having those two questions a better understanding of why we are meeting physically as a large congregation again, despite the few inconveniences that we may face. And now to my actual sermon. Can we have the slide? Does this work? To begin, I want to quickly define fellowship. In the New Testament, the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, which gives the meaning of association, community, communion, and joint participation. And in Old Testament, there's this word. The word for fellowship is haver. I'm pretty sure I'm butchering the Hebrew pronunciation. But haver is in the Old Testament, and it isn't used as commonly as koinonia in terms of interpersonal relationships. But it still carries the meaning of uniting, binding, joining, and coupling together. For example, in Nehemiah, remember when they rebuilt the walls? They joined the walls, they used the word haver. Or in the temple of God, when they joined the curtains together, they used this word haver as well. So whether is it in the Old Testament or New Testament, we can see that the word fellowship carries forth the idea of being joined together in unity. Now then, let us explore why fellowship, being joined together in unity, is and has to be one of the key aspects in the life of a disciple. We shall turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 21. If you all have your Bibles, you all can turn. I hope you all still remember to bring your Bibles. Does this work? Oops. Okay, I'm going to read. Since you all cannot read, you all can whisper under your breath. It's going to be a long passage, so bear with me. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our presentable parts have greater modesty. Unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That therefore there should be no schism, means division. There should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed this in church. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, help, demonstrations, ability of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. So for my very first point, fellowship is and should be one of the key aspects of the life of a disciple, because we are designed and called to live this way. This is like as a body of Christ. God did not intend for Christians to live in isolation, but in fellowship with other believers and to be identified as the body of Christ. In the passage that we read earlier, we can see that it is God who composed the body and also the one that sets the different members in places within the body. He has meant for all believers to be in union, joined together as one. Do not be mistaken. We are not united merely by our emotions or causes or ideas or service timing or church location or physical or online. But we are joined together by something far more significant and weightier. And that is the blood, the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. We are not just an interest club bonded by mere interests, but we are bound as one because we partake in the same flesh and blood. And in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it states that we drink from the same Spirit. In Jesus, we have one Lord, we have one faith, one baptism, and one hope, just as Ephesians 4 says. Hence, our Christian unity ought to be far beyond common friendship and far greater than our differences. Let me repeat. Our Christian unity ought to be far beyond common friendship and greater than our differences. Because we are brought together by something so significant, so powerful, and so precious, the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why partaking in Holy Communion is so significant as well. It's not just for the remembrance of Jesus. Yes, that's a very big part. But also a reminder that we are one body of Christ. That's why in the liturgy it will say, we break this bread to share in one body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Which 1 Corinthians 12 passage brought up very consistently. And to push this further, how many of you have heard of the proverb, blood is thicker than water, before? Raise your hand. Do y'all know that, you know, I love quotes a lot, right? Do y'all know that the actual meaning is that the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb, which means the exact opposite of what we used to think it means, right? It means that the covenant, the friendships you choose to make, is closer than those that you were born with, your family ties. But that aside, I have added my own spiritual twist to this proverb, that the blood of the covenant, Jesus' blood being the new covenant, is far thicker than any substance or thing on earth. And it binds us such that we are so close together and that we are one body of Christ. So in sharing this, I do hope that it frames your perspective, the perspective that you have toward one another, that the people on your left and on your right or around you aren't just another cell member, aren't just another churchgoer or another stranger, but he or she is someone you share a bond and commonality with that is so profound and so significant. And toward other believers as well, that even without an existing relationship, as strangers, as different members, different churches, different congregations around Singapore and the world, you can still perceive them as fellow brothers and sisters of the same body of Christ, and thereby considering them and loving them. I remember the youth staff team was having a meeting with another pastor from another church in a cafe once, and we were talking about very Christian things. That's what pastors do, talk about very Christian things, but also of other things. And after a while, a lady who was seated near us stood up to leave. And before she left, she came over to tell us that she's also a Christian. And after overhearing what we were talking about, okay, she wasn't being sneaky or sus lah. We were talking quite loud. So she said that after overhearing what we were talking about, she was very encouraged. And in that moment, even though she was a complete stranger to me, I felt a certain connection with her that came not through words or actions or anything else, but through the very fact that we share in one hope, one faith, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Soldiers identify with each other through the uniform they wear, and they fight for one another. Sports team identify themselves with the jerseys that they wear, and they fight together as one team. And I hope that we too as Christians can identify with each other through the same robes of righteousness that is covering each and every one of us. Thereby, we learn to love and encourage one another. Pastor Sam just now read Ephesians 2, chapter 19 to 22, which I think sums up very perfectly what I'm talking about. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, the foundation of this community, of this body of Christ, in whom the whole building, in some sense his body, is being joined together. You see, joined together again, the idea of fellowship grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And I think it's amazing that as we come together as one, the Spirit of God comes and dwells amongst us. Amen. As disciples, we need fellowship to be joined. Okay, this is exactly, you know, Pastor Sam and Gloria are very stressed that Elizabeth, baby Elizabeth, will make crying noises. But this is what it means to be a family, right? That doesn't matter, small noise or not, we are one family. We enjoy baby Elizabeth, our youngest member here as well. Let's give her a mini round of applause. We don't scare her. Yeah, see, she's laughing. Okay, so as disciples, we need fellowship to be joined together because we were never meant or made to be alone, but we were called to be in the body of Christ, members of the same household of God. Today, remember that you are part of his body even as you partake in the same flesh and blood and spirit of Jesus. On to my second point. Fellowship is and should be one of the key aspects in the life of a disciple because we are not enough. We are not capable and sufficient enough, and we are not strong enough on our own. I know it's taboo to tell people this thing since we are taught since young to be encouraging. We have to tell people you're capable enough, you're good enough, you're strong enough, you can do this alone, you can do it. But I'm saying this today because I personally experience how there can be so much comfort and peace when we recognize that we, on our own, can never be enough. The sooner we come to terms with the fact that we are not capable, sufficient, and strong enough on our own, that we cannot journey alone, the sooner we find that relief, acknowledging that we can and we need to come together as a body of Christ to rely on each other. So why are we not capable and sufficient enough on our own? 1 Corinthians paints us the picture of how there are different members of the body with very different functions. And I mean, I won't read the verse because of time. And Romans 12 verse 4 also tells us, Paul, the same author, reiterates the same thing, that we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Doesn't this remind you of Pastor Sam's sermons, two sermons on ministry, where there are so many giftings and functions? You know, y'all did the mini test or quiz or question, right, to find out which is your strengths or your gifting. There are so many of them. And we can't possibly have all or excel in all unless you are Jesus or the avatar. Hence, Paul, in both 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, goes on to elaborate that in the body, we all have different giftings according to the grace that has been given to us. And then he asks this series of rhetorical questions. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, blah, blah, blah? No. This is why we are not capable enough on our own. And we need to come together as a body of Christ to build up the body of Christ. Let me give you a quick example. I was in a season of taking up more responsibility recently in church, leading the secondary segment. And at times I felt very lousy and not good enough because there's so much to do. There's so much I don't know. There's so many things that I'm not good at. And carrying the burden of thinking that I must cover all the bases on my own and be good in everything was just a burden, stressful. And there was once I had to do up a newsletter for our secondary segment parents to let them know of our physical service resumption. So I crafted out my content. But then I was like, oh shoots, I don't know how to make it into a newsletter, you know. I think IT class last time, I never really paid attention how to use Adobe and all that kind of thing. And I was like stuck. Oh no, I don't know how to make a newsletter or at least an aesthetic one. I could bash myself up for being so lousy, so incapable. But then I remembered that Jessie, my dear sister in Christ there, pointing her with the laser. I'm just kidding. Is super talented in doing newsletters because I've seen what she does for herself before. So I fell back to rely on the body of Christ and I got her to help me do the newsletter. And when she finally sent me the PDF, the Adobe, the file of the newsletter, when I saw it, I legitimately wanted to cry. Not because of how aesthetic or excellent that it looked, but because God was telling me and saying to me, see, you are not good enough to do everything alone. You can't do all this alone. And you are not alone. Even through something so trivial, I witnessed the power of the body of Christ coming together to accomplish things and experience the truth that we all need each other. All right, moving on. Why do I say that we are not strong enough alone? To put it simply, it is because we as individuals are weak. In our flesh, we are weak, and it's difficult to stand alone or to carry on with this journey on our own. I was having a lunch, breakfast, brunch with Jake one of those days, and when we were talking, I suddenly found myself accidentally saying, wow, even Jesus needed someone to come alongside him to help him carry his cross. And in that moment, I was like, oh, wow, I never seen it that way before. That we, even Jesus at one point of his life, was not strong enough on his own. And we are not strong enough on our own. And to make things worse, we have an enemy, an evil and relentless enemy who is on the prowl like a roaring lion, waiting for us to fall, waiting to devour us. This is why we need to come together to strengthen each other, to support each other, and to watch out for each other. 1 Corinthians 12:22 does not hide the fact that in the body of Christ, there will be members who are weaker and members who are stronger. Hence, in Romans 15, verse 1, Paul urges the strong in the body of Christ to bear with the weaknesses of the weak, not to please ourselves, but to build up our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. In Galatians 6 verse 1 to 2, Paul also urges us to carry each other's burdens, and in this way, in so doing, we fulfill the law of Christ. I recently read a book that brought up this fact about the Spartans. How many of you know the Spartans 300? Not bad, y'all know. Stephen Pressfield shared in his book that in the Spartans' law, if a Spartan loses his shoe, oh Spartans, I got a picture of Spartans, see the shoe and the spear. If a Spartan loses his shoe, he will lose his citizenship. There is no penalty in losing his helmet or breastplate, but a big penalty if he loses his shoe. Why? Because the strength of the Spartan army came not from the sharpness of their spears, but from the strength of their shoes. It's okay for a Spartan to lose his helmet and breastplate because those are for his own protection. But he cannot lose his shoe because that is for the safety of the whole line. I thought that that was a powerful image because they give so much importance to the duty of defending one another. And I hope that we too as one body will ascribe the same level of importance and weightiness in watching out for each other and defending each other's weaknesses and walk. That as one body, as one line, we are able to stand firm and stand strong in the midst of the enemy. And this brings to mind this classic image of Lord of the Rings, Gandalf, where he say, "You shall not pass to the Balrog." There was this creature that was going to attack the fellowship, his comrades, on this bridge. And he was standing in the middle of the bridge and he said, "You shall not pass." And this image came to mind, that will you be like Gandalf, putting yourself between the enemy and your brother or sister in Christ and telling Satan, "You shall not pass. You shall not have my brother because I will stand and fight for him. I will guard him from you." And I think that is something that I feel God really wants the body of Christ to be able to do, to stand for each other, to fight for each other. And you know, there may be sometimes, there may be some personal battles that we cannot fight on behalf of each other, but we can do, what we can do is to carry each other. You know, for example, Moses and Aaron, when Moses had to raise up his hands for the war to be winning. You all know that story, right? And his hands were tired already. Aaron cannot say, "Okay lah, I transfer to me, I raise up my hands." He couldn't do that. He couldn't carry that burden. But what Aaron could do was to carry Moses' hands for him. And another Lord of the Rings reference. I like Lord of the Rings. You all watch? How many of you watch Lord of the Rings? Fellowship of the Rings. All right. Next slide. There's this scene where they are reaching Mount Doom already. Frodo is the person who must carry the ring to bring it to Mount Doom to destroy, for all of you who have not watched. And only Frodo can carry the ring because he's the ring bearer. And the ring makes him very weak and it's an evil thing trying to consume him. So he becomes very weak. And at this part, Frodo had told Sam earlier that the ring is such a weight to carry. Such a weight. But when Sam had offered to carry it for him, he said, "You must understand that it is my burden and no one else can carry or bear it for me." And this is where Sam said, "I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you." You know, there are some struggles, some battles in our life that we cannot carry for each other, but we can be there to support one another, to carry each other and to spur one another on, as Hebrews 10 compels us and teaches us to do. I know I get a lot of the Rings reference, but God spoke to me a lot through the movie. This is one more. This is Boromir, one of the main characters in the Fellowship. And in this scene, it's a very sad scene where he got struck by arrow after arrow. And I'm showing us this picture because this is how I see each one of you here. That we are all broken, hurt, wounded and injured one way or another by the enemy. And many of us here try to hide our pain. But I just want to say that as a body of Christ, we don't need to hide. We don't need to cover up, because we are here to stand together, to support one another, and to fight for one another's lives and walk with God. You are amongst family. Brothers and sisters, look around you today. The person next to you may not be showing you his or her pains or problems, but will you be intentional to care for them, to reach out to them, and to fight for them? So to recap, The life of a disciple needs fellowship because we are not capable, sufficient and strong enough on our own. And we need to rely on the bigger body of Christ to come together as one, to make up for what we do not have and to cover each other's weaknesses. Moving on very quickly to my last point. Fellowship is and should be one of the key aspects in the life of a disciple because we have a big mission. We must always come back to remember that we have a big mission. We come together in unity not just for the sake of coming together to enjoy each other's company, each other's warmth, or to be a holy huddler, but we come together because we are given a big mission. Matthew chapter 28 verse 20 says, "Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And we come together because we are given this grand call to go and reach out and make Him known. We need to remember this mission at all costs because this is the call that Christ has given to His body. We must not be distracted and destroyed by internal conflict or divided by dissension or discord within the walls, because when we have these internal issues or internal conflict, it debilitates, it impairs us from focusing on the external, the greater mission at hand. I'm bringing this up in light of, you know, the Azim and the Terse issues that have happened not long back ago. That TLDR, for those who are not aware, is that there were some mistakes made in these Christian organizations. I won't go into detail because of time, but I wanted to share that what I saw really broke my heart. That the body of Christ started bashing another member of the body of Christ. That the body of Christ joined the others in picking up stones to cast at another member of the body of Christ. You know, instead of doing what 1 Corinthians 12 teaches us to do, to bestow honor to the parts that are less honorable and cover with modesty the parts that are less presentable, that there should be no division and that members should have the same care for one another. Instead of doing that, part of the body of Christ fell into self-destruction. Instead of when one member suffers, the whole body suffers, it was more of when one member suffers, the rest judge and condemn. And that really, really broke my heart because we are not just an organization, but we are the body of Christ. How many of you, when you were aware of these two issues, got down to praying for these two organizations? Or how many of you, when you first heard of these issues in the organization, started to condemn, to judge, and to pass judgment? As a body of Christ, we must not give in to the schemings of the devil and become divided and distracted, which is exactly what he wants, for us to lose sight of what Christ desires of us. And there are many examples of this. You know, in the Bible, the division amongst the 12 tribes of Israel, Israel and Judah being divided because of economic reasons. Or even in Singapore, even in the world, that denomination wars. You are from this denomination, you are from this denomination, we are not together, we are not one body. Or even in our context, smaller context, bitterness and baggage with a cell leader, a cell member or a pastor. You know, instead of having these things, these conflicts, these dissensions, we who are within the same body must learn to commune with one another, to honor one another, to love one another, to forgive one another. Let's not cheapen the body of Christ, which Jesus died for, with our internal strife and bickering, but let us focus on the greater call which He has called His body to. So fellowship, it's important in light of our big mission because we must work together and not against each other. Fellowship is important in light of our big mission also because, like my second point, we can't accomplish it alone. When the body of Christ comes together for the mission, we are stronger and we cover greater ground. I love it that I have missionary friends in East Timor, in India, in Nepal, all over the world, being in places that I cannot be and doing the same mission, answering the same call that we have. I have so many stories to share, you know, like a year's worth, but I have to cut short because of time. Maybe next time I'll share more stories. Oh, I particularly love this other example that we, you know, the pastors, we every year we go for a pastor's summit. And for this year, there was a call to the Church of Singapore, to the body of Christ in Singapore, to come together to foster children and empty out the foster homes in Singapore. I thought that was amazing because we as the body of Christ are called to a far greater and higher purpose to impact the people around us, our nation, our world, and to make Him known. So again, let's not forsake that by stooping down to fight and bicker with one another, but let us come together. This toy is seen in Pastor Tina's house for Baby K. He says, strong insight to experience more together. Let us as a body of Christ become stronger within so that we can experience, we can journey, and we can accomplish more together. This picture is the picture of the Fellowship of the Rings. I want to end off with Lord of the Rings because I started there. In this picture, they're made up of four hobbits, two humans, a wizard, a dwarf, and an elf. And they are so different, you know, in terms of their race, the weapons that they use, their strength, their weaknesses, their character. And they are all bound together by one grand mission, which is to destroy the ring. And we know for certain that none of them would have been able to do it alone or to make the journey alone. For they face an army, an evil army that is relentless and that is strong. They are incapable, insufficient, and they are weak on their own. But as they came together to be in one accord, overcoming internal conflict, fighting for and defending one another, and bearing in mind the great mission, they completed the journey. And this is where I think it's the most epic part of Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings, where Frodo finally said, I will take the ring to Mordor, Mount Doom, even though I don't know the way. And that is where Gandalf says, I will help you bear this burden as long as it is yours to carry. And then we have Aragorn, Legolas, Gimli saying, you have my sword, you have my bow, you have my axe. And then Boromir saying, Gondor will see it done. And I think that is the picture of the body of Christ coming together in unity. And I do hope that we can come together in like manner as well. Lastly, some of you may be wondering, so as a disciple, not a Lord of the Rings character, how do I live out this aspect of fellowship? Let me give you a few quick points. Firstly, be aware that you are part of a larger body of Christ, recognizing that the precious flesh and blood of Christ binds us all together. Secondly, be humble to rely on the body of Christ, esteeming others better than yourselves and recognizing that you don't have it all. Thirdly, be active to fight for and defend one another, ensuring that your brethren stands tall, the line is intact, and the body is strong. Be slow to anger. This is a very important point. Be slow to anger and slow to judgment, but quick to forgive, remembering the greater common mission at hand, and that we are not each other's enemy. Let me repeat. We are not each other's enemy. Whether a cell member piss you off, or a cell leader step on your toes, or a pastor accidentally makes you upset, remember that we are not each other's enemy. And lastly, be committed, recognizing the significance of your presence in this body and the weightiness of your commitment. The idea of baptism, you know, baptism is not just about a commitment to Christ, but it's also a symbolic act of being committed to the body of Christ. So for those who are baptized or are going to baptize in the next cycle, remember that baptism is not just a commitment to Christ, but to His body, His community, His church as well. So don't so easily give up on the church. Don't so easily give up on His body. All right? Maybe I can get the worship team to come up. All in all, at the heart of fellowship is to stop thinking or focusing so much about yourself and to learn to think about others and to think on behalf of others. It ultimately falls back on the two great commandments, to love God and to love one another, His body. When writing this sermon, I asked God to show me what is on His heart regarding His topic on fellowship. And I am convinced that God wants to see His people recognize the value and need of coming together as one body, especially in the times that we are in. I'm not sure about you, but reading all the news articles these days, it gives me the sense that the church of Singapore, even the church in the world, is being attacked relentlessly by the news articles that come out, by the things that are happening. The church is under attack. And I really hope that we can see the importance of coming together, of standing together, even more so in a time like this. May we, his people and his body, put aside all else and pursue being like-minded, of one accord, one heart, one voice, and one purpose. And lastly, God also wants those who feel far and alone to know that you are not alone. To come back, to come home. Your family awaits you. Can I have some background music? Thank you. You know, if the church or even I or the pastors have hurt you in any way, today I want to apologize and to ask for your forgiveness. You know, we as a church, sometimes as pastors, as leaders, we are not perfect as well. You know, we make mistakes. But come, let us journey together as one family and as one body, because that is what Christ, our head, our Savior and our Lord, has designed and called for us to do, to come as one body. Let's all just close our eyes and bow our heads. I'll just give a quick altar call. We can't come to the front, but you all can raise your hands. You know, is there anyone who feels alone today and wants to come back to a family? If that is you, I'll just invite you to raise your hand. I see your hands. Thank you. Is there anyone here who is hurt by the church or someone in church, and today you would desire to release that forgiveness? If that is you, would you raise your hand? I see your hand. Thank you. Let me just close in prayer. Father Lord, I want to thank you for your word and your heart for fellowship, that you have called us to come together as one body. So much so that you gave your own flesh, your blood and your spirit, that we can come together as one. Lord, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters who are feeling alone, feeling that they have no family. Lord, I pray that today in their hearts, would you speak to them and let them know that wherever they are at, whatever that they are going through, that they have a family here in Coos Youth, that we will stand together with them, loving them and watching over them and journeying with them. And Lord, for those who are hurt by the church or by someone in church, Lord, would you just release, allow them to release that forgiveness this evening. And not just to forgive, but to go the extra mile to love that person, knowing that in doing so, it is pleasing to you, for you have called us to love and to forgive one another. So Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for all who are here today, online and physical. And I want to just lift them into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Alright. I don't have any application questions as we have on Zoom. My sermon is ended already, but now we are going to have two quick application activities. You know, in alignment with all that talk about fellowship and the body of Christ, we are here today as one body to celebrate the Sec Force, or not so Sec Force anymore, transition to JPI. Can we just give him a round of applause? We intentionally want to do this in service because transition is not just about the transitees. It's not just about the two segments involved, but about us coming as one to celebrate their growth as well as their new season. Can I therefore get all the transitees to stand? I think there's a slide for their names, right? Do I have a slide? Come on, Sec 4 transitees. Oh, they're upstairs, downstairs? Alright, yeah, all of them. I can't read out all. Woo! Sec Force, or not so Sec Force anymore, I don't know what to call y'all. I just want to say, as a secondary segment pastor, well done on journeying well, being faithful to your journey and to your community that you are here to transit today. So congregation, from where we are at, can we just stretch out our hands and let's just pray for their season, their new season in church as well as in school. Let's just, don't need to shout out your prayer. Let's just take 20 seconds to just release a prayer upon them, and then Pastor Sam will close. I'll close. Father Lord, I just want to thank you for our Sec 4/not so Sec 4s. Lord, I thank you that they are here standing amidst and amongst all of us today, that they have journeyed so well through the ups and downs, through the failures, failings and falling down, that they are still standing here amongst us. And Lord, we know that there is a way, way, way longer journey ahead of them. And I pray with that same grit, perseverance and love for one another, that they will continue to journey that journey. And as they move on to JPI, to meet their older brothers and sisters, Lord, would they continue to be favored as the younger ones? And would they, even in their youth, bring energy to JPI and serve the older ones and love the older ones? So Lord, we thank you for this precious batch who are here to graduate. And we thank you for every single one of these names. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. There is a gift for you guys prepared by your leaders. I think somewhere at your seats, you guys can get it. If you don't have, you can ask. Get it from your leaders as well. It's prepared by the JPI and secondary segment. Yes.
All right, can we get the batch 5 leaders in JPI segment to stand? The ones who will take on this batch. Can we have Sarah, Dawn, Megan, Bernice, Eunice, and Danelle to stand? Come quickly, we don't have a lot of time. Yeah, thank you for standing. Yeah, I see you guys. Right, shall we all stretch out our hands even as we commission this leadership team to take on the 5th batch of JPI segment. Shall we?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we just want to thank you for the growing, of their journeys. And we have called this batch Pideon, which is redemption. Lord, I know that you are redeeming. Lord, you are doing a redeeming work.
Amen.
In every single Sec 4 that is transiting into
Amen.
JPI. Every leader that has said, "Here I am, Lord, I will serve. Pick me." God, I pray for the 6 of them, Lord, that even as they have decided to serve, Lord, will you anoint their lips? Will you anoint their hands? Will you reveal who they are in you?
Lord,
Father, that when they lead, they will lead with great passion. And we pray that every single one of them will embody believing in every single member that comes through their gates.
Yes,
Lord,
God.
That every single member will be precious to them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
For all the Sec 4 transitees, right, that earlier stood up, we all wrote on a couple of notes, right? Several of the JPI leaders wrote for you. Some of your secondary segment leaders have written to you. If you do not have it, do let your cell leader know. But the reason is because, number one, we want you to know that every single one of you is valued. Number two, every single one of you has a story to write, even as you come in and it's a blank slate. It is a fresh, clean slate. All right? And number three, we want you to write this journey with God. Amen? Right, welcome to the family. We are all still part of KUS Youth, so we are still one body. Amen?
Amen. All right, very quickly, for my second application activity and the final segment of this service, we are going to invite all of you to take your place in this community, in the body of Christ, KUS Youth, even those of you who are online. If you will reach under your seats, you will find that there is a tiny package, a brown package, and within that package, there are smaller packages for your bubble. Can you quickly check if everyone has one? If you don't have, can you just raise your hand to to let the safety distance officers or the ushers know, and they'll pass you. Ooh, suddenly so much life. All right, in please remain seated. Don't run around. Please remain seated. You only need to stand up to check the pack, then don't cross here and there. Open the paper bag. Open the paper bag. Give me one. Each of you should have one of these blue pack. Each person to have one of these blue pack. Okay? Not there's each person one brown pack. Each on person one blue pack. Also. And inside each blue pack, you will find two Lego bricks. One as a keychain and one not as a keychain. Just a Lego brick. So can you all check? Anyone else still doesn't have?
There are still some hands at the front. John, or yeah, do you all have?
Jesus, we pray that you multiply the Lego, because there was an oversubscription. If you can do it with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, you can do it with Lego bricks. Amen. Does everyone have? Okay, I'm going to move on before we get excited. There should be a black marker in each bubble as well. And before we get more excited, let me quickly explain the significance of this Legos. As I brought up in Ephesians 2 earlier, that we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but we are fellow citizens in the household of God. And we have Jesus being the chief cornerstone, the foundation. Can I have the slide up, the picture? In whom the whole building, the whole Kus Youth is joined together as one. That was taken long ago, that we as one Kus Youth pre-COVID can stand together. Okay, settle down a bit. I know you're very excited. You know, we as a Kus Youth, as our household of God, we as a Kus Youth are the building that is being joined together with Christ as the cornerstone. But the beauty is that the building doesn't just exist out of nowhere like that. It is made up of bricks, one by one. And you, each of you, represent that one brick that forms a part of this household, this family, and this body. As such, the Lego with the keychain is for you to keep, to bring home, to keep, to attach somewhere, to remind you of your place, of your value, and your role here in Kus Youth. And the other Lego, we want to invite you to use the black marker, which each Bible should have one, to write your name on it. Don't do it yet. Let me explain the significance. In writing your name on it is symbolic of you choosing to commit to this household and to this body, and choosing to take ownership of your place in it. You know, every one of you is so precious and significant, and without you, Kus Youth wouldn't be whole as one family, as one household. I want to very, 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 very quickly share this testimony. You know, we actually didn't have enough Lego keychains because of the shipping arrangement. So we hunted for a local stock yesterday. Within one evening, we managed to find a seller on Carousel to provide us with another 100 over keychains. And I didn't dare to bargain for the price, because it was very last minute, and he had to do 100 over keychains over one night. So last minute, you also know, right? Cannot bargain, right? And Next slide, picture. This is the picture of the carousel seller. He messaged me this morning to say that the pieces were completed and asked if it was for a church, youth church event. I didn't tell him it was for a youth church event, but he deduced that it was because 100 packs. I told him it's 100 packs. It's in Queenstown and we were going to use markers to write on it. So he thinks it must be for a church event because Queenstown a lot of church. So I was shook at his deductive skills like a detective and told him that it was indeed for a church activity. He then said he decided to throw in more keychains to bless us under the rationale that you guys might yank the keychain out. So don't yank the keychain out. I found out eventually that he was a Christian also, and we established which churches we are from. I told him I'm a Church of Xavier. He told me he was from Grace Methodist. And I called him out. I called him out and said, I know that you threw in the extra pieces because you wanted to bless the larger body of Christ. And I told him that because I'm preaching on fellowship today, I want to share this story. This was me meeting him just now at 12 plus at Queenstown MRT to take the keychains. And one very amazing thing that eventually happened is he said, I am going to bless you with the remaining Legos, the keychains. I only paid 50% deposit. And he said, I'm going to bless you with the remaining, all the Legos, the 50%, other 50% payment, you don't have to pay for it. And that was amounted to $100+, And he's a small carousel business. And I think that's so apt because we're talking about the body of Christ and he's from another church, yet he's blessing what we are doing here as a Kus youth. And that is so, so amazing. We ended up getting the keychains within one day, delivered all the way to Queenstown MRT at a price that is cheaper or matching the original shipment. I thought I had no bargaining chip at all in the beginning, but in the end, I realized I did not need to bargain because I was dealing with a brother in Christ. I'm just sharing all that to let y'all know how valuable you guys and how I feel God values us as well, and that He is doing this, providing for us to show us how much He values us. So before we write our names, let me say a prayer. Lord, I thank you for every single person here that forms a brick, that forms a part of this church, even as they make the commitment, writing their name as a symbolic act on that brick that forms the greater body, the greater building of Christ. Lord, would this be a powerful and meaningful activity for them, remembering that they always have a place here and that this is their family and that this is the body of Christ. So Lord, we just pray that every single one here, amazing. I thank you for every single individual and that you continue to bind us closer and closer together as one body. Again, despite our differences, our weaknesses, stepping on each other's toes, but we learn to commune together, to love one another, and to be the body of Christ you have meant for us to be, not wholly heartless, but to carry and go forth with that great mission that you have given us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.